Thank the Lord for being back home with you. And I'd like to share this message that's been on my heart for several weeks now. Pray the Lord will bless us with it. I like how the Lord helps us to feast on the thought. And we want to share it with you. And pray that the Lord will bless us with it. We'd like to turn Galatians 5 and 22. Might explain just a little bit how this kind of came about, how the Lord started talking to me about the fruits of the Spirit. Years ago when the girls were little and we lived in Michigan, we had a record about the fruits of the Spirit. And I had forgotten about it, and one morning I woke up and God started talking to me and he said, "Do you remember that record? You played for the girls over and over, and I learned some of the songs too." And he said, "You know, nowadays you can probably find a CD." And I said, "I probably could." Well, I did find it, and I bought several. And sharing it with some of the family, some of the little ones. And through that, it's really been a blessing to me. And I know I don't have this to play for you, but I have the message. So I ask you, Lord, to help us. We want to start about love. 5 and 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Love, I think that the first example of love is Jesus Christ. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. St. John 3:16-17. Then you want to turn to 1 John 4 and 7. It teaches us to love one another. And love is a wonderful thing. I would not want to be in a world where there was not love. And 1 John 4 and 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So love one another. The love is of God. And I love some of our special songs we have about God. I believe it's 140 is "God is Love." "Hark, my soul, seraphic music." It's a little lively song. I love that song. It brings memories to me. When we lived in Michigan, we went to Akron, Ohio, and they would sing that song, "God is Love." And it felt like back then, you know, it just felt like the walls echoed the song. It was so glorious. And we hadn't been saved very long. This was probably in the early 1970s when we went there. We lived in Michigan. And those are sweet memories to me. And so when I sing that song, I think about the saints there years ago, and still saints there. But anyway, I thank the Lord for love. And in this little song, it says, I'm just going to read some of the words here. You just pray, Lord will help me. But it says, there's a land called love. But I'm thinking there's a spiritual land of love. And we need to just get in and revel in that love. And it says, you can cast all your cares in a pile. You can laugh or just rest for a while. It's very real in this land of love. You can feel the love of God and so much more. I know there's times in your life where you reveled in the love of God. Your secret closet of prayer. It's wonderful how God will do that. And then there's a little, we want to remember St. Mark 12 and 30. It says, the Lord, to love the Lord, the God, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Let's read that. St. Mark 12 and 30. It says here, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You know, pretty soon it's going to be Valentine's Day, but, you know, loving God with all your heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. So we need to take this heart, soul, mind, strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And we want to please the Lord, we need to get lots of love in our heart. And Lord, you know, we can have some of the fruits of the Spirit, but we can always have more. We can increase. You know, we can increase in these things. And the fruit of the Spirit, it says, this little song, it says, love, love, love makes people happy. Love, love, love makes people free. Love makes people do the things they know they ought to do. Love is doing this. Love is doing things for you and me. So, you know, when we love, and it just manifests itself in doing things for others and doing things. Love, you just do it because you love them. It comes out. And just like loving God, we love God, we want to please Him, we want to be good, we want to do all these fruits of the Spirit, we want to excel in it. The next one, it talks about joy. I have a little cup at home, it says choose joy. I also have another little sign that says choose joy. And my brother-in-law was over one day and he said, I saw that sign, choose joy. He said, you know, that's a good reminder to choose joy. But you know, we can choose joy. We can choose to be happy. We can do this. I looked up the definition of joy. It says intense, ecstatic happiness. So it's just immense happiness, joy. I know when I first got saved, Jerry's grandmother would sing a little song to me. It was joy bells ringing in my heart. Her mother would sing it to her, and she would sing that. She says, take the Savior here below with you wherever you go, and you'll have joy bells ringing in your heart. And so joy is a wonderful thing. But this little song would say, everybody seems to want joy every day, but lots of folks don't even know it's made to give away. Give away pure delight. Make someone feel all right. Joy for me and joy for you. Joy is something that we do. That's the way joy is. Let's learn to give. So, you know, to have joy, lots of times we get joy by making others happy, by doing something for them. And, you know, some people might say, well, you work so hard and you cook this dinner. It was a lot of really hard work. And they're eating it, and maybe it's Thanksgiving and your family's eating all that good food, and you put a lot of work into it, but it brings you joy. How is that? Because you did it for love, and it brings you joy to see them eating the food and being happy, and it brings you joy. So joy is something that we can give away. And I just love joy. I want joy in my heart. We sing that song for little children. So joy, joy, joy down in my heart. I've got joy in my heart. That's what we want to have. We want to have joy in our heart. You know, I heard a minister say one time, you know, we gotta live here till we die. We got to make it. So let's just try to be happy and you know, and try to enjoy every day. Why you want to go around being sad and gloomy? We don't want to do that. We want to be happy and try to make other people happy and give them joy. And that's what we want to do. So we can choose joy. So the Lord wants us. So that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. We think about peace. Peace. Go back to Galatians. You know, the fruit of the Spirit. Think about that. The Lord wants us to have the fruits of the Spirit working in our life. More and more and more. And He can help us. So we want to talk about peace. When I thought about peace, I thought about St. Luke 2:14, when the angels came and was announcing Christ. And what did they say in 2:14? It says here, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I know some of the saints, they sing that song that, there's really no peace but I find in Christ. The peace that we find is really through Christ. If we didn't have Christ, we wouldn't have no peace. But peace, and then this little song has some things that says, peace is when the wind is gently, I'll say gently blowing, because when it blows really hard, it might not be too peaceful for us. But when it's gently blowing, You know, you're sitting somewhere and you get a gentle breeze coming through and you feel it makes you get peaceful. You feel peace. And peace is when the sun is showing. I mean, it's amazing how people can get so excited when they see the sun peeking through the clouds. Like, look at the sun. The sun's coming up. Or the sun, you know, it's coming. The rain's went away, but now we see the sunshine's coming in. And they're all excited. And so peace is when, and the little song is, because it's for children too, but it's for adults too. But it says, peace is when my daddy's home. God gives me peace. At peace, peace, I think I understand. Peace, peace is holding Jesus' hand. And also says, peace is when my mommy pats my head. Peace is when I'm smiling while I sleep. God gives me peace. And, you know, peace, I remember years ago, this sweet memory I have. My parents, my dad had moved to Michigan, and he was trying to find a job. And he took us, and he rented this trailer. And for some reason that night, I had such peace. I trusted my parents, and I don't know if I was 9 or 10 years old, but I remember in the room there, I heard the train go by, and the train was sound. I could hear the noise of the train, and I was just safe in that trailer, and I was warm, and my dad and mom had got some groceries. We had a good supper, and he was going to go look for a job, but I felt so safe with my parents. I just felt so peace. I wasn't scared, and I remember how content and happy I was that night, of feeling that peace. And peace is a wonderful thing. It comes from God. And God can give us peace. No, the world is raging. Like that song that says, Satan cannot touch his children. The wicked one toucheth him not. He can still give us peace in this earth because of Christ. He gives us peace. So peace is a wonderful thing. We want to go to long-suffering. Now, long-suffering, if you think about that, Who is more long-suffering than Jesus Christ? He's so long-suffering with us. He's so long-suffering before we got saved. I wonder what he was thinking of me when I was a young teenager girl. I didn't know the saints. I didn't know anything. I needed lots of help. We all need lots of help, but there he was going to try to help me find the saints and find the truth and get me on the right road. You know, he's so long-suffering. And he, you know, the little song says he can make us what we ought to be. You know, we can't make ourselves that way, but Jesus Christ can make us what we should be. And he's so long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And, you know, that's the way that 2 Peter 3:9, the way if Jesus is long-suffering, we need to be long-suffering with people. Because that's the spirit of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us to have patience and be long-suffering. And we want to turn to 2 Peter 3:9. It says here, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. You might say, why hasn't the Lord come? Why hasn't he destroyed the world? Why hasn't he come yet? Because he's long-suffering. Because he wants people to get saved. And he made the people. You remember when Jonah, he didn't want to do what God wanted him to do at first. And God, you know, had that gourd grow up and shaded him and everything. And then the gourd went away and he was upset again. And he said, you know what? I made the gourd. And he's trying to teach Jonah something. I made these people. And you want to give up on them. And I'm telling you to go preach to Nineveh. But anyway, he finally obeyed. Am I got the right one right? Yeah, okay. But anyways, that's the way the Lord is. He's just so long-suffering. And so when we want to give up on people, let's remember, that's not the right way. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's not, God hasn't give up on them. So let's not give up on them. I remember years ago, I saw a man at Monarch. He was probably... Someone told me he was like 80 some years old, and he come to the altar and he was getting saved, and he was just hitting the altar bench, Lord, please forgive me, please forgive me. And I was really touched. I was a young person, but I was saved. You know, I thought, why did that brother wait so long? ooh, why'd he wait so long? But that doesn't matter. I mean, he's there now, and we want him to get saved. But see, wasn't that wonderful? And that comes in my mind lots of times, how that man wanted to be saved. He was at the 11th hour, so to speak, but he wanted to be saved, and the Lord was long-suffering, and he did get saved. And I thank the Lord for that. So the Lord is not being slack. He's not being slack, but he's long-suffering. And that's what it says, long-suffering. And, you know, long-suffering is, that's what the Lord wants us to be. And long-suffering goes, even though it doesn't say patience in here, but long-suffering is, patience is under long-suffering. And, you know, people say, I pray for patience and I got lots of trials. And, well, we didn't know what we need to do. We need to pray, Lord, help me to use the patience I have. You know, you don't give me more patience. Just help me to use the patience I have, Lord, and help me endure and help me to be an example, be what I should be, and you can help me through. I'm not saying you can't pray for more patience, but what I'm saying, don't ask for problems. Just ask the Lord to give you help with the patience you do have, and the Lord can increase that patience. But you know, the patience is a fruit of the Spirit, and there's two Greek words, and I wrote them down on another paper. I don't need to write them down, but there's two Greek words, but what they means, remaining under, keeping our bodies under. When we feel like we're running out of patience with somebody, ask the Lord to keep our body under, keep our spirit under, and keep sweet and keep kind. And, you know, the Lord can help us through his Holy Spirit. And there's a little song that says, when, you know, have patience. When you get impatient, you only start to worry. Remember that God is patient too, and think of all the times when others have to wait for you. And sometimes, you know, we get impatient. Wish they'd hurry up, you know. Well, what about all the times they wait for you? So try to be patient and just be patient. Find something to do, entertain, or pray. You know, you could do some praying when you have extra time waiting for somebody. Do some praying. Then you won't be acting wrong or having impatience. So Lord, help us to have patience. Now we're going to go to, let's go back to Galatians. I'm going to go to, and there's lots more we could say probably about that. But you got the understanding of it, that the Lord can help us to have more patience. And we know we want to go to gentleness. Gentleness. I love that part. I wish all of you could hear that little CD. So good. But, yeah. When I treat you kindly, it makes you happy. Changes you inside. It makes you feel important, loved, and special, and it makes you smile. Isn't God good when he asks us just to love like he does? Isn't God good when he asks us just to be so kind? Well, the Lord wants us to be gentle. And the Lord wants us to be gentle. Just a moment. Here, I got some gentleness, yes. Gentle breeze. This is so sweet, but I just wish I could give it to you like it's in my heart. But the Lord, I've been feeding on this for weeks, and it just touched my heart, and it's just come alive to me. And gentle breeze flowing through the trees. Have you ever just sit outside? Pretty soon we'll get to sit outside, Lord willing, in the spring. And the gentle breeze come and the flowers start coming up. And you'll understand and you'll feel this gentleness. Gentle breeze flowing through the trees and the meadow filled with flowers, showing us your gentleness. How I love you. Showing me your gentleness. How I love you. And this little verse says, your dear son walked the earth. He was full of love. Now he lives within my heart, showing me his gentleness. how I love you. Showing me your gentleness, how I love you. Isn't that right about Christ? God's dear son walked the earth, and he showed gentleness. He was full of love, healing people, saving people, delivering people, just doing good to people, feeding the people that were hungry. He did all good. He went about doing good. That's what he wants us to be. He wants us to do. Now he lives within my heart, showing me his gentleness, how I love you. There's something about the gentleness of Christ when it gets over to us and we realize how much he did for us and how much he loves us. It just touches our heart and it helps us to really remember what God done for us. So wonderful. And then goodness. Goodness. There's a little song, it's so sweet. It goes, but did you ever have a dog that was good to you? Or a friend that showed goodness to you? I think that you've begun to see how good being good can be. It says, bees make honey and it sure tastes good. Have you ever smelled a flower and it sure smells good? Well, you'd be good if you could see how good being good can be. Goodness, goodness is God's idea, you see. He tells us in the Bible how good being good can be. So God wants us to be good. He wants us to have gentleness, goodness. He wants us to have these in our through the Holy Spirit. We can't do it by ourselves, but through the Holy Spirit, he can have these things working in our lives and we can increase in them. And like the little psalm, we're like Christ this morning in the message. We want to have those things in our life. And he tells us in the Bible how good being good can be. And then it talks about faith. Oh, there's a lot about faith, but you know the faith chapter, Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So we want to have faith in God. And faith is one of the roots of love and all these other things. And God gives us faith. It's God-given to have faith in God. And it says, St. Mark 11, 22, we don't have to turn that, but it says, have faith in God. And Hebrews 11 and 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. You know, when I read that and I think about that, I think, Lord, help me increase my faith because it says it's impossible to please him if I don't have faith. But it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it says when we came to God, we had to believe that he was the God and he was the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So when the enemy comes in and tells you he's not hearing your prayers, don't believe the devil. Because he said he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Don't give up. Keep praying. Because that's the enemy that says he's not hearing your prayers. That's not true. That's a lie. God hears every prayer. I remember one morning I was reading my Bible and doing my praying. Day after day, I didn't feel anything. I just kept doing it. Because I know it's the right thing to do. And I know God's listening. Even if I don't feel anything. One morning I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I really not feeling anything. I just told him, I said, I'm not feeling anything. But you know what? I know you're listening to me. And I said, I know that you're listening to me. And you know what he did? He gave me a song. I put it on the signal. Hath the mortal yet been found who hath trusted him in vain? I got up from prayer. I wasn't thinking anything. I know it was the Holy Spirit. And he started singing that song to me. I thought, oh, he's letting me feel something. Get me something. So see, you just keep praying, keep being faithful, and have faith in God, and he'll give you something. He will. He'll be there. He's going to be there. Meekness. You know, I thought about meekness, and I thought, Lord, how do we explain meekness? And I thought about, you know about Jesus. He's the example. He's number one. We think about Moses, but really Jesus. Matthew 11:29, our Lord was so meek. He was the example of meekness because he was God. He could have called 10,000 angels or more. It's more than that. A legion of angels is more than that. He could have called to set him free, but he chose to die so we could be saved. And it says in 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I am meek and lowly in heart. That's where Jesus is, meek and lowly. You know what? The Lord wants us to have meekness. The Bible definition of meekness is a calm temper of mind, mild of temper, not easily provoked, quiet, gentle, not easily irritated, patient under injuries, not vain nor haughty, or resentful, forbearing, and submissive, patience, meekness. Numbers 12:3, I read a little about Moses because, I mean, every time I hear meekness, I think of Moses because God said he was the meekest man. And if God said it, I believe it. And you said, well, he made some mistake, but still all in all, that's what the man he was. And Numbers 12:3, it says, now the man Moses was very meek. You know, if you just think, and he was leading the children of Israel and all those people murmuring and complaining and causing him troubles, and he had to be meek and not throw a big temper, you know? He had to be a meek person. And it says here, now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. That's why God chose him to be that leader. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come ye. No, it says here, let's read above there a little bit. Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Miriam, his sister, did not like the woman he chose to get married to, and he married her. But family can have some family problems sometimes like that. But Miriam was unhappy about it, and she was speaking against Moses, and Aaron was involved in it too. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? That was not right. And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. Miriam is getting ready to get chastised. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And it says here, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall behold. Wherein then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? How could you not be afraid to speak against my servant Moses when I chose him to talk to him above the other prophets? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, she got leprosy. That's a terrible thing back then, what she got. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherewith we have sinned. So Aaron repented right there. And let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. I mean, I can just imagine Moses, meek, he was kind, he was loving, and he just said, Lord, heal her, I beseech thee. He wasn't holding anything against them for talking about him. He was just begging the Lord, heal her, Lord, heal her. And the Lord, I won't go around it, but the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, she should not be ashamed 7 days. Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed, and not until Miriam was brought in again. And so she was healed after 7 days, and then they went on. But this is showing how Moses was so gentle and kind and meekness, and he forgave people when they done him wrong. And he was loving and kind, and Jesus wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit. Have that fruit of the Spirit. Meekness. And temperance. Temperance is self-control. Self-control is under temperance. I'm going to go back there. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. What does that mean? Against such there is no limit. There is no, you know, we can't say, oh, I have enough. I have enough patience. I have enough love. I have enough goodness. I have enough gentleness. I have all these things. There's no law to the abundance that you can ask the Lord to help you to have more like Christ, more like these spirits. Holy Spirit, help me to be more like this. If we forget, let's go back to this chapter and read it. We get in a trial, let's go back and read it and say, Lord, help me, Lord. You promise that you can give us the fruits of the Spirit in our life. You promise you can help us. And it says, temperance, self-control. And the little song there in that little, I was telling you about, it says, self-control is just controlling yourself. It's listening to your heart and doing what is smart. Self-control is the very best way to go. So then I think I will control myself. And in this little song, I don't have it written down, but it says, I'm just telling you what the song said, but you know, it said, I had a knot in my shoe and it wouldn't come loose. And I tried and tried and tried and it wouldn't come loose. And I got so mad, I kicked the door and stubbed my little toe. But oh, if only I could learn more self-control. So temperance in all things is really down of having self-control over your spirit through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Beat down that flesh and have the Holy Spirit reign and give you some self-control in everything, temperance, in everything. God can help you to have control. And another little verse in there, it says, it was about like, it's the children aren't in here, but it was saying like, for a child, you know, sometimes they get tired of brushing their teeth. And it says, I wish I could stop. I had more time for candy bars and drinking soda pop. But soon my teeth would hurt so bad from all the cavities. Oh, me. I wish I could learn more self-control so this wouldn't happen to me. But what it just said, it's just a cute little song for children, but it's for adults too, you know what I mean? But I got a lot of good out of it. But anyway, Lord, help us to have the fruits of the Spirit in our life. The Lord is able to help us to grow in Christ and be more like Christ. I just thank the Lord for this. I just feel like when the Lord gives us something, it's for me to share with others, but it's for myself. And I want to be more like that. I want the Lord to help me. We're all human. We're all tested and tried. And but I just praise God that he can give us the victory. And I thank the Lord for his love. Pray for me.